So thank you all for coming to our talk. We're really happy to be here.
Thank you, guys.
I am Paula Moore, not a household name, like Randy, but we've been friends for and worked together for over 25 years. I've known Randy since I was a scout in Texas.
I was 12 when we met.
This is a little moment for me, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Coming full circle, you home in Austin.
Yeah. And when I first learned what A&R was, I was a club booking agent in Dallas. I came down to South by the first year with my intern, who wanted to do A&R, who never got to. And we came to this panel. And we sat back there somewhere, like, where y'all are.
Wow.
And I was like, am I ever going to get that job? Is that even possible for me?
Who was speaking on that panel?
Maybe it was David Kahn. Maybe it was David Bendeth, one of the Davids that did A&R. And
David Kahn, he's a good one. We love
he's
him.
He's a good one. Yeah, I don't remember who it was, actually. It was a bunch of dudes. That's what it was. No
They're
women.
Weird dudes.
And here I am today with you doing Dude. The panel.
And I'm feels happy good. Here.
Feels real good.
Feels good, right? Yeah. Greater than feels really greater than too good.
That's right. That's right.
Right, Brittany?
All right, greater than crew, hold it up for us. Make sure everyone's lively because we're about to get into it. Let's get some Randy stories.
Yo. We got the squad in here. The greater than squad is here. I love
it. That's right. That's right.
No more team. It's all about a squad. You know that.
So we want to talk about A&R today. We want to talk about artist development because that's, you know, that's the core of what Randy and I like really vibe on all day, all night is talking about. Like, how do we do better for artists? How do we help artists develop into the modern music industry today? It's really tough. It's really hard to break an artist, really hard to help artists, you know, get it out there and build fan base and make great songs too. Like, how do you get that?
Well, for me, I go back to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, me being a boy, wanting to be in the industry, wanting to be a musician, wanting to be an artist, and trying to grow up and learn everything I could and sponge from everybody I could be around. For me, it came really earnest and honest because I am one of you. I started, like all of you, with a dream, with a hope, with a wish. Worked really hard, and by the grace of God, got blessed to get in some good situations, and got blessed to continue growing and building to this point. The A&R thing is interesting, Paula, as Paula knows. It's not only about having a good ear. I always say one of the first rules I learned being an A&R guy, I used to hate A&R people. I still kind of do a little bit, but no, because here's the thing. All the good music you hear, some of them sign. All the bad music you hear, some of them sign. And where the score is now, the bad way outweighs the good. So, you know, it's about having an opinion. It's not what you like. It's what you think is going to really work in the marketplace. So you have to be sort of a fortune teller. We used to tell the story, if you sign something today, a month from now, if you put out a single or 2 months, you got to be able to really gauge where it's going to go, how you're going to grow it. You almost have to be a marketer, promotion person, publicity, everything today. So it's more than just having a good ear. Wouldn't you say, Paula?
It totally is. And I really wanted to touch on this with you today because Randy is a very unique A&R and creative professional to me. And I've known all the big A&R folks, you know, just like you have throughout the years, have my loves and not loves too. But what I love about Randy in general as a creative human being is his lens, his A&R lens is on 24/7. No matter if it's an artist, no matter if it's a brand we're talking about aligning with, whether it's a cool little startup company, whatever it is, that lens is, it's just in you. And you're decisive about your A&R prowess. It's like, Randy, let's talk about this company, or let's talk about this person or this artist, and you know immediately. And that's a gift that you have crafted over the years. You really know what it's like to identify something on the spot and be like, yeah, that, or nah, that, you know? And I think that's a special talent.
So nice. Thank you, Paula.
Yeah, you're welcome. I mean, I call it like I see it.
No, you know, I don't know. You know, growing up in Louisiana, one of the greatest things for me, that it's kind of a potpourri or gumbo of music. It's every kind of music you can imagine, including its own indigenous Dixieland and Zydeco. So, and I guess you got the Indian thing too with the Wild Chapultepec Indians that gave you the meters and all that. But the one thing I always remember growing up, I remember I was 15 and I was playing a show in New Orleans with this little band. And this old guy said to me, he said, man, if you do nothing else, make sure you're authentic. So I lived my whole life authentically. Now, everything in life is really relative. I mean, relationship with your best friend, your parents, your boyfriend, girlfriend, your music, your band, your A&R people, your work, whatever it is, everything is relative. So for me, authenticity is key. Is that really who you are? I always say this about artists when I started a management company about 20 years ago. I don't want to manage who you think you are. I don't want to manage who you think you should be. I only want to manage who you truly are. And if you don't know who you truly are, use this as an A&R tool, I don't want to sign you. Because if you don't know, the public won't know, and they won't care, and I don't know. That lesson I learned from the great Stevie Wonder. He said to me, I write a lot of songs, Stevie says, because I asked him about songwriting. I said, yeah, Stevie, what do you do? He says, if the next day I can't remember my own damn song, it ain't good. If I can't remember my own song, the public ain't going to care about no song. So I applied that to everything. If you don't know who you are, and this is a big one, this is a deep one in life. That's what I think a lot of people struggle with. We heard from someone yesterday that was saying, it's a great artist, but they don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with that? You don't know who to market to. You don't know what to do. And there's a lot of those. They're cool because I spent a lot of my time in the jazz fusion world, which is great. But even in the jazz fusion world, those guys know who they are. They want to play that. They don't want any vocals. They want to play a billion notes a second, every mode possible, the highest degree of difficulty available. So at least that's a box to be marketed and promoted in. So I live my life authentically. You know, that's the way.
Well, and that's how you have always been. Ever since I've known you, ever since I was a young scout, it's been the same.
I can't be nobody else.
Well, let's dive into some stories. I think, you know, we did a little A&R talk. We'll do some Q&A at the end. But I want to talk about, some of y'all probably don't know, Randy has performed with so many great artists, but he's got a rock vibe that y'all may not know about. It's not...
Hence the damn way my Guns N' Roses shirt. And I'm going, whoa, when you dress for the park. Yo, I like that hat, man. Where'd you get it?
Let's tell a rock story. Like, what's your favorite rock story? Is it Journey? Is it...
Let's see what story I can tell. The rock has a lot of things that go with it.
Did you ever find yourself A&Ring inside of the band when you were playing with Journey?
Now, this is what's funny. The Journey story, the funniest part of this story is really weird to me. I was talking about this with this guy the other day. I'm not name dropping. It's just whatever. It's life happens. But so I was in Journey for a while, right? Made a couple records with them, whole thing, toured with them a bunch. I decided, after picking myself up and getting a little clean and sober, I moved to LA and I started doing more sessions and all this kind of stuff. While I was doing sessions, a good friend that she managed, David Kahn, was doing A&R Columbia Records. There's another guy that just became president, Donnie Einer, who I'd worked with a lot at Arista because he was the head of promotion for Clive. While in the Bay Area with the Journey Boys, I was part of this production team with Nardo Michael Walden. We did Aretha, we did Whitney, How Will I Know, Dance With Somebody, tons of songs, right? So David says, man, you ever think you want to do A&R? You know, Donnie and I were talking about it the other day. Nah, man, I hate that. This stuff is terrible. These people are awful. So he said, man, you should try it. So I met with Donnie. Donnie said, man, come on. You know, David's here, but I need one more music guy. One more. Can't have to be the music more. People than music. Right?
The music yeah. label.
Yeah. So I took the job. So guess what my first A&R job was? I became Journey's A&R guy. The band I was in, touring with, I became the A&R guy. So I became Steve Perry's A&R guy. So he and I were laughing about this the other day because it's so funny how you never know what's going to happen in life. But those were good times. Those were good times, I must admit.
Well, and it's so funny. I know. I did lead that in. I did know that. So that's pretty funny, though.
But it's just a weird story.
I mean, how do you feel about today's music industry and what A&R looks like today? Not what we're doing, but what they're doing. Like, how do you feel about that? What do you think? I have my thoughts, but I know you've got a lot of thoughts.
I think that it's a little bit troubled, but, you know, because I think it's hard for big corporations to keep up with the changing times. You know, things are moving really fast. I mean, technology is moving really fast, and technology is forcing the industry to move quicker. You know, the advent of TikTok and the advent of YouTube and Spotify and Instagram, so people can start their own lives. I think the A&R process is a little lost because everybody and their mother, you could take a five-year-old and say, hey, what's trending on TikTok? Oh, you should sign this. This has got 8 million streams. So anybody can do that. That to me is not A&R. There's no specialty in that. Anybody can look and see what's streaming and want to sign it. So I think the art of A&R is a little lost, hence Greater Than and the Greater Than squad around this room. I think, you know, we're bringing it back to the future because I think development's an important thing. And I think also somebody to talk to and somebody that really cares and loves your craft and loves you. What's the Marilyn Monroe quote? If you love me at my worst, you get to love me at my best. Don't love me when I'm already great. Of course, everybody
That's
loves
right.
me then. But see me when I'm just at the bare bone bottom. If you can take me out of that, those are the real success stories. And that's what A&R is really about.
It's true. It's true.
The true name from acquisition to release, A&R. Arts and repertoire too, but yeah.
Yeah. I think we talk about artist development a lot, and we know, like, it's one of those things when you know it in your head and your day-to-day life, you're like, I know what to do with artist development, but maybe let's break it down, like, the Randy Jackson breakdown of artist development. What does that really mean?
Well, I manage quite a few artists and quite a few writer-producers. I'm really honest, right? But I'm hardcore. I think it depends on the kind of music and what you want to do, but to me it's about songs, songs, and more songs. I don't care what genre you're doing, still about songs. You could be wanting to be in Tame Impala, still songs. You could be Kanye, still a song. You could be, I know I mentioned Kanye. You could be Taylor Swift, still a song. In fact, Taylor Swift's success is based on her songs, not on her talent, on her songs. So that leads you, and I always say this to artists, what do you want to do? You want to play small clubs, 100, 200 people? Want to play small theaters, 1,500, 2,000? Want to play 5,000, 10,000 arenas, stadiums? I want to play stadiums. Well, in order to play stadiums, you need some hits. So the hits come like this. Whether you write them or somebody else writes them, no one cares. I remember being at a show with 5 Seconds of Summer. And we went to see Aerosmith. And they were standing on the road with their manager, and he says, "Man, will you talk to these guys?" I said, "Yeah." Aerosmith did 5 songs in a row, all number ones. The crowd's freaking out. I said, "Guys, you see those 5 hits? They didn't write any of them." "What?" "Yeah. The audience doesn't care. They love these songs."
It doesn't matter if you write it or not. Yeah, it's a matter how you deliver it, how you own it.
Exactly. Industry people care about that. But my thing of development is everything. It needs to look like you just woke up and did it, but we spent years perfecting it. When you see Michael Jackson, when you see Prince, when you see Madonna, when you see these big shows, even Taylor Swift, Beyonce, those shows are rehearsed for like 8-10 months, but it looks like they just threw it together. So that's my method with the whole A&R thing. What's your look? Is your look the greatest it can be? No matter what the look is, it can be disheveled, it can be whatever it is. You look like whatever it is, but does it fit authentically to your brand? What's your brand? Start there. How do you perform on stage? Talk about that. How's the band? How are you? Are you a better singer? Are you a better musician? Highlighting the good parts of your voice, getting vocal. I go all the way in. So for me, development is everything. I don't know any other way to do it.
Well, and I don't either.
Right.
A lot of A&R folks, like, they just do the job. You know, when you, especially at a major label, it's one way or the other. You deliver the record, and whether you're a babysitter for that process or you're actually involved in that process, you still have to answer to the single decision maker, because there is just one at a label. And if you don't deliver a record that reacts in a certain way, then you end up dropping an artist that you love. It's a different kind of beast in that machine.
And Paula, you know, wouldn't you say, the artists kind of trust that A&R person. They depend on, because the A&R person is really the loudest voice for you in the label. They're your label manager, for instance. They hype everything up. They get everyone convinced to believe in what they believe in. But wouldn't you say you let them down because they're trusting you? Trusting us, trusting you guys to do it for them, to help them.
Yeah, I always felt that sense of responsibility when I sign an artist, that they're counting on me to deliver and make sure that they get their best shot every time. But, you know, you can't control everything when you work in a label. I mean, hence why we started a company together,
yeah,
Randy.
Exactly. Can't really control nothing.
But you know what I want to talk about? Back to artist development. Something that I think is important that's never really spoken out loud in a public forum like this. And I do think it's important because we face it every time we work with an artist that we truly love and we truly want to be behind. But maybe they don't have it right. You know, maybe they need to change a band member. Maybe something needs to change that's a hard decision to make. Maybe you have to tell them that song's not going to make it. I mean, how do you
handle
that?
It's
going to
be a no for me, dog.
See, I got
Yo, but wait a minute, wait a minute. See how she teed that up? Yo, hey, we got the synergy going on up here, Paula. I love it, dude. I love it. No, you're right. I mean, you know, but that's the trusting thing. I mean, I always say to artists, I always say to anybody outside, listen, I'm going to always be brutally honest with you because from my vantage point, we got to win. The only way is winning. I don't care about nothing else. I don't want to be in the game. I don't know about the game. I don't care what the game is. I just want to see a W. So we got to get in the trenches. So, yeah, it's hard. Those conversations are really hard, but hopefully you develop that trust with that artist because somebody in the community has to love you to help guide you through the process. Hopefully that's that A&R person that found you, discovered you, saying, oh my God, I'm really willing to fall on the sword for this artist. I believe they got everything it's going to take, but I want to help them get the things that they don't have. So I start the conversation like this. We got this. These are the great points. These are great things. Here's what we need to work on. And are you down? Are you willing? Are you, because you know, as A&R people, Paula can attest to, we grew up in the roughest times and the best times of doing A&R. I mean, you know, I hate this song. It's a terrible song. You suck as an A&R person. I mean, you get it all. I remember Clive Davis saying to me, Randy, I'm going to invest millions of dollars in this artist. Should I trust a proven hitmaker, or should I go with some newbie writer that you found? What's the answer, Randy? I'm waiting. I mean, so you say, well, I guess you're going to go with a proven hitmaker. I mean, you know, I love this kid. He's developing, but yo, I mean, do your thing, Clive. You got millions of dollars. Because that's where, when you see Max Martin, see him all over the Conan Gray's, give a Texas shout out, Conan. See him over the new Conan Gray record. Back with Ariana Grande. Back with Katy Perry in the new record. So Max is a proven hit maker. I mean, on the pop side, I mean, one of the greatest ever. One of the absolute greatest. I love him because I love what he does. But if you want to get hits, you go to someone like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, especially when it's an emerging artist that really is super invested primarily in their own growth up until the point where they meet someone like you or me or, you know, anyone else, any songwriter that could collaborate with them, it's really hard to let go of that control and to learn how to collaborate.
Well, I think it's just really getting that trust level together. And I think it's not really letting go of control. I think it's really having a shared interest in what's going to make you the dopest, best artist. I don't care what your genre is. I don't care if you're Dre contributing to Eminem's career, making Eminem's career. Jimmy Iovine was really smart with that. But it doesn't matter what the idiom is. I think we want to be the best. I've joined your team as an A&R person. Let's go to the top.
That's right.
I think it's really that trust in that conversation. You know, but there's a saying that goes with artists. Artists are usually their own worst enemies. And one of the biggest problems with artists, usually, generally, I'm sure there's artists in the room, remember something. Hard for you to have all the objectivity that you need to go all the way. Objectivity means, can I step outside of myself and really honestly take a look at myself? That's the key. And by the way, that looking at yourself has nothing to do with size. Jelly Roll or Ariana Grande, she might be 4'10", 80 pounds. Jelly Roll might be 400 pounds, 6'1". Has nothing to do with size. Simon and I would always say that on Idol. So listen, size ain't got nothing to do with it because everybody thinks I need to be on Ozempic or some stupid shit like that, whatever. But it ain't about the size. The size is not what's going to cure you. Are you a star? Do you believe in yourself? Because you're convincing people to follow you. So if you're doubting yourself, it's going to be a rough road.
Yeah, I mean, I think that star quality exists at some point in an artist's development process. And it's whether or not they embrace it, right?
Hopefully we're born with stars.
Everyone's a star. Y'all are all stars.
Hey, that's a song, Sly and the Famous Son, everybody is a star. I love songs. I love music.
So what do you think today, like with an emerging artist, probably a lot of emerging talent in this room, what's their first step? Like once they decide they're going to start writing songs, once they start going down the path to have a professional career as an artist, what are the steps they should take in this modern music industry?
Look in the mirror right now, your phone, wherever, and say this to yourself. This is your mission. Should you choose, underline choose a billion times, to accept it, underline that a quadrillion times. Have I chosen to accept who the hell I am authentically? Then we can start. Because if you haven't done that, and you're still out there, well, I think I'm, man, I'm really more like 21 Savage, but I, you know. Now, who are you? Do you know who you are? Because if you don't know who you are, remember, no one else will and no one else will care. Once you do that, then you can probably find people to help you on your journey. Because that's what people want. Nobody wants to guess with you trying to figure out who the hell you are. That would be the first rule to me. And just because it's easy doesn't make it good. Everybody in here could, right now as we're sitting here, put up 10 songs. Put them out right now as we're sitting here. The world is full of bad shit. That's part of the problem. So to see the good in the sea of badness, there needs to be an arbiter of taste, but that's a whole social media problem.
Well, I mean, let's talk about social media. It really has affected, it's affected all of the industry, especially for emerging talent. I mean, the floodgates got opened. Everyone's an artist. Everyone's a creator. There's good and bad to that because some of the stars that we would like to discover, and you can hear our Greater Than crew, you can see them everywhere. We're all about discovering early. Not everyone else in the industry is. Very few are. So social media has made that even more challenging for great talent to rise up so that they can be discovered by people like us who can help them. What do you think about that, Randy?
I think you're absolutely correct. I think the problem is there's so much clutter in the marketplace. I mean, if you looked on a graph and see how many songs around the world are released every hour of every day, it's mind-numbing. But I know everyone thinks that their stuff is better. Is it actually? Because in actuality, the best songs always win. People go, well, the label didn't do their job. No, it ain't the label, it's the song. People didn't connect with the song for whatever reason. And it's weird for me because I'm an artist, I'm a producer, I'm a manager, I was an A&R guy, I'm still doing A&R. For me, I look at that song as life's breath. I look at the song, one of my development things, as a producer. Look at the song and say, okay, play it to somebody. And go, yeah, it's cool. Oh, you don't love it? No, I don't love it. Why don't you love it? I don't know, I just don't love it. Okay, so as a producer, I go back to the drawing board and I go, it's here at 12 o'clock. If I put it at 4, maybe they'll like it. What about this? It's better, I don't know, still. I go back to the drawing board, maybe if I put it at 9, oh, you know what, that feels good. So you have to really get in control of what you're trying to create. You got to dial it in. And that's the thing, you probably will need help doing that because what I said before, objectivity. Prince used the time in his own band to keep him real. Michael used his brothers and all of that Quincy to keep him real. Somebody's got to help you be the outside voice to say, you sure you want to do that? Maybe you should do that over there. You know what I mean? And none of us on island, there's no I in success. Always about a team or like the greater than squad. Squad's the new word.
I love that. And, you know, talking about producing, because I think that you touched on something so important that I feel like I'm a broken record, even though, you know, I'm not, but really, I feel like I'm a broken record. And I say, you know what, you gotta get in the studio and vibe with the sound. Don't just be like, one and done, or I'm going to, you know, my throat's tired, whatever. Like, yeah.
Stay in the lab and cook up, man.
That's right. You got to stay in the lab and cook it and walk away, but then come back and dial in until you feel it's the right thing.
And find somebody that, like, you know, God, I feel like I'm on Idol some days. Simon and I used to always say this because we were both A&R guys. Funny, A&R guys doing a music talent show. Makes way too much sense. What? This is what you do in your day job, now you do it on TV? No. It's like craziness. Most people forget that part. We weren't a star trying to extend and sell a brand on TV. We were A&R guys doing the same thing. Here's the deal. Find someone that you really trust. Not a family member, not your best friend, not a girlfriend, boyfriend, all this nonsense. They're going to love you no matter what you do. They ain't never going to be honest with you. The greatest things that helped me in my life were all the no's. The no's made me try harder, made me try and prove this shit. Like, I'm going to go in, I'm going to figure this shit out. So those are the ones. You don't want people that's just, you know, gassing you, saying, yeah, it's great. It's cool. You don't want that word cool. Cool ain't going to mean no money. Going to stay broke. Still going to be working at the dry cleaners, Starbucks, being cool music. So listen, find someone in your town, anybody that you trust, that you believe, that will say and tell you the truth. Then take that as your barometer. Start building on that. That's really the key.
Well, and that's how you build a sound, too, and build hits, make hits. What's your favorite hit song you ever worked on, Randy?
I don't really know, I heard this on the radio before I left LA the other day, coming out of somebody's car at a stoplight. I did a song, Jackson Brown Studio, a record with a group, God rest his soul, with a girl that I loved, Christina Amphlett from Australia. She's in a band called The Divinals. We did a song called I Touch Myself.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Because it was such an interesting moment in the studio with the funniest producer, guy who used to work with Prince, named David Tickle, British guy. And he would come into the room, into the studio, and say, guys, this is great, but I need it to be a little bit more orange. What the fuck is wrong with you, man? Orange. And we'd look at each other like, what is going on with this dude here, man? Yeah, he described everything in colors. So it was the last
song. How'd you get more orange?
Well, it was the last song of the day, and they weren't going to include it on the record. And Chris C. just said, look, let's just try it. So we worked it up, and that became the big single.
See? Yeah. Last song of the day wasn't going to make the record. They got more orange and made a hit song.
Somehow orange.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
you know what else I just thought of? That story you told me about Madonna coming in the studio and she took your glasses.
I had these black and white polka dot shades way back in the day. And she'd come up because Stephen Bray, who moved out from Detroit with her, Stephen Bray, Color Purple, Madonna, introduced me to her in New York. She was playing drums in this punk band. Terrible drummer, but she looked fly as hell. Terrible drums, awful. But so she'd had a couple of hits. She came up to us. She went to write with us in the studio. And I kept looking for my glasses when she left. And I go, why? I guess I lost them somewhere. I forgot that she had them. And then I saw them in the next video. I called the manager, Freddie DeMann. I'm like, dude, what the hell's going on here? I'm
going to
charge. I'm going to sue her. And Madonna's cool. She's definitely a star. Superstar. And by the way, stars. Stars. It's going to sound negative, but it's really positive. Stars are complete narcissists. They give zero fucks. They don't care about anyone or anything but themselves. This is about me, me, and me. Ain't room for but one person in my life, that's me. Get that if you really want to be a star. People, they don't care. They do not care. You can't.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you have to get there. If you want to be a star, you have to get there.
Yeah.
And you got to let go of some things that hold you back, those insecurities, all of those things, that those doubting moments, they have to go.
And by the way, I was in Nashville last week. Let me just say this. If you're not a star, dude, why do you think bands were invented? Join a damn band. Put a damn band together. Dude, that's what happened. Think about Aerosmith. Think about Guns N' Roses. Think about The Time. Morris Day wouldn't have made it on his own. Think about NSYNC. Think about Backstreet. Think about a band. 5 Seconds of Summer, Harry Styles, and Wonder. I'm saying. Join a band, maybe spring from there. Beyonce, join a band and spring from there. You know, it's not about, you know, you too. Bono wouldn't have made it on his own. I know it sounds crazy, but he wouldn't have. I'm sure he was trying to. You know what I mean? So, because the band can become the star. You spring from there so you find your wings. You know what I mean? But don't be afraid, man. If you want to make it by any means necessary, what's going to get me out of this town? What's going to move me out of Austin?
That's right.
Help her. She's going, yes, I'm a star, I'm a narcissist, fuck her. I'm just kidding.
What about artists that become great songwriters? I mean, you have that, you're a multi-talented artist, producer, executive, you've been through all phases of all types of songwriting. What is that? What's that moment where you go, hey, you know what? You should really pursue songwriting. Be a songwriter.
I was talking about it in Nashville last week. I was at one of these writers' rounds, which I don't like, but I happened to be there to see an artist. But I didn't like the artist I was there to see. I liked the artist that was on before them. So it was interesting, you know, because I always go, why am I here? What am I here to see? But being a great songwriter is everything. This is, everyone needs a hit song. Everyone in this room needs a hit song. I don't care what genre. I don't care if you want to just make cool, vibey music, if you just want to make crazy grunge, whatever you want to do, you still need that song. So being a songwriter is actually the best thing to be. Now, the quintessential thing is being the songwriter and the artist. You get the Elton Johns, the great legendary artists like that. But trust me, the people you think that write all these songs, these artists today, most of them really don't.
It's all about collaborating with a songwriter that can write a song with you, for you, that seems like it's your song. It was your song from the beginning. You wrote it, even if it had 15 songwriters on it.
Your song, it's a little bit funny. And it's a great song. That's a legendary mess. A copyright. Yeah, and I think, listen, being a great songwriter, you can be 100 and be a great songwriter. What's the guy that wrote that Miranda Lambert song? Love, the house that love built, or what's it called? That guy's like 77. Still writing hits. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Work on your song craftsmanship always, always.
Wait a minute. Does everybody here like songs? Because that's the key. I feel like, do you like songs? Because a lot of people, you know, I used to hear artists talking about the anti-chorus. I don't want a chorus, man. You know, I want to be like Perfect Circle, you know, like, you know. I don't need this. I want to be like Mudvayne, dude, like, you know. But I'm saying, if you love songs and love choruses, learn to love songs. Learn to love music. If you love music and you love songs, it will help you with your writing. And by the way, one of the other great lessons I ever learned, the great Tom Dowd, he was part of the Atlantic Records days with Ahmet Erdogan and those guys. They did all the early Aretha, all the early Ray Charles, all the Rod Stewart, all the Bee Gees, all this stuff. He said to me, I was a kid, I was like, well, I think I was 11. I think it's right before I met Paul, I was 11.
You were 11?
Yeah, no, just kidding. So he said to me, so you want to be a producer? I go, yeah, I was playing on some record for him on a Rod Stewart record. He says, yeah. I said, man, listen, I love your work. I'm a big fan, whatever, whatever. And he says, well, pick up the Billboard. Let me see. He said, you're one of those music school guys, aren't you? See, yeah, I went to Berkeley and all, you know, because, you know, the music school guys are looked at kind of snobbishly in the pop game because it's almost like, you know too much. You know, you're doing too much right now. We don't need all them notes. We need one note, and you know you want to play 80 billion. So he said, look at the top 10. No, look at the top 20. Anything in the Billboard you like. I said, well, you know, some of this stuff is cool, but it's not really quite my vibe. Probably like what a lot of all of you would probably be saying now. Not really my vibe. He's like, ah, okay. I thought that's what you would say. He said, okay, your first lesson as a producer, I hope you hate every song in the top 20. Learn while it's working. Look at it, examine it, do all your homework, research it. Figure out why that song is working, why people are paying attention to it. Figure out how to get that applied to your music. That's the key. That's why I want you to love songs. I hope you hate every song. I hope you hate Benson Boone, Teddy Swims, whatever the hell. Hope you hate it all. But learn while it's working. Why is that working? Why does Taylor Swift's songs work? She's a very good marketer, but other than that, why are the songs working?
Why do they work?
She is probably one of the best marketers in the game. She's so smart. She's learned the game like Madonna. She's like Gaga did. Like, she's really studied the game. This girl's very gifted. I mean, she shows up at an award show with the black guy, the Chinese girl, the Mexican chick, and like, it looks like Benetton everywhere she goes. And she gets up and accepts the award. It's not about me, it's about you. Oh, really? Really, Miss Narcissist? Are you sure it's about me? Give me $1 billion. You know what I mean? But Jack Antonoff is brilliant for her. He's a great guy, great producer. Max was brilliant for her. She made a record with Max, had a bunch of hits. She just really loves the song. She gives in to who she is. She really figured out who she was. I may not be the best singer. I'm not a Kim Burrell. I'm not a Jasmine Sullivan. I'm not a Justin Timberlake vocally. But I'm not Teddy Swim. But I'm a pretty good singer. I play pretty good guitar. I write okay. I got a lot of people to help me. If I put the right team together, I can win. That's what she's done.
That's exactly what she does. And all those words we've been saying throughout this talk is you got to feel yourself enough to be able to say, I need to put the right people around me to get that hit song, to get me where I need to go, to help me get to that next level. You cannot do it yourself.
It's too hard. It's too hard. You know what I mean? Because we used to always say when people were hiring stylists in the label, well, man, just put him in a bunch of Gucci, a bunch of YSL, Saint Laurent, man. Can't they be wearing, like, you know, put him in Pharrell's new line, you know. You can put the clothes on the person, but that don't mean they're going to wear them. Woo! Hello. We just took y'all deep right there. You might be wearing the designer thing, but it looked like hell on you. As my dad would say, style, that style ain't for everybody. Hello. Took you deep again. But I mean, that's real talk. That's the authenticity thing saying, what do I look good in? What can make me look unique? What's my unique sense of style? I don't want to look like everybody else. You know what I'm saying?
Not fashionable. Style.
Style. Hey, fashion is fleeting. Style is forever, in the words of Karl Lagerfeld.
That's right. Well, we have a few more minutes, Randy. What do you want to talk about?
Any questions?
Oh, he's
going to
I'm not going to talk about love.
I can't talk about love in here. Paula said I can't talk about love. The great Brittany.
Yes. Can I just ask you here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right, so it's a two-part question. My first question is for both
of y'all. Oh, he wants you to mic it up. Thank you.
The great Brittany. Great Brittany.
Yes, the great Brittany. Hi, everybody. Okay, so it's a two-part question. First part is, what is one of the biggest mistakes you all made in your A&R careers coming up? My second part of the question is, who is an emerging artist that you all are both excited about that you've maybe come across over the past couple of months, weeks, whatever that might look like?
Well, that's a painful question for me, all right? Because I know that answer. I know that answer 100%. It's in my first book. I know it's so hard. When my boss at Warner Brothers Records walked into my office, I was literally walking out to go see 5 bands that night. I'd been there all day. And I'm walking out, and he meets me in the hallway, and he's coming at me. And I was like, oh, man, shit, what'd I do? And he was like, hey, I want to talk to you about something. And I was like, oh, okay, I was walking out. No. Should we sign Jack Johnson? And I said, well, I don't know, he's a surfer dude. I mean, he's good. I don't know. I don't, yes or no? And I said, I looked at my wife, I said, no.
But I would have said that too, because I was not a fan at the time. But I'm saying a lot of people probably did that with the Grateful Dead, Fish, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You got to love that kind of music to understand it. And I'm cool if you don't understand it. If you honestly say, look, I love this, but I don't understand what this is, okay.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it was at a time, remember, at that time, it was like he was doing something very different sound-wise than what was happening, you know, across the growing interest of alternative music. And it just, it wasn't a fit for me in my mind. I didn't know how to make that record. I didn't know how to make that record a hit. And, you know, sometimes you get asked that question at the wrong time.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an A&R guy. I've had a lot of failures. I think I used to manage an artist, and it was his A&R guy, a guy named Van Hunt. And I think that last record, thank you, he's great. I think that last record that we made, I kind of failed him a bit because it was really hard. He really wanted to do what he wanted to do, and I wanted him to do that, but I knew some of those songs weren't going to really work and hit the mark. But we went around and around it a bunch of times, had some strong talks about it, but I feel like I failed him with that. And your other part of your question was what, Brett?
Emerging artists.
There's a guy that is part of now the Greater Than Squad named Hollow. I think this kid's got a real future.
All about Hollow. Y'all will know that name for sure.
He's got a real future. I think he's got a real future.
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few that I'm excited about. We have a wonderful A&R and A&R marketing team here today. And that's all they do is hit us up all day long on our Discord. Check this one out. Check this one out. So every day I'm excited about new artists. And guess what? That's why we built a distribution company, because we can sign them all.
Right. Exactly. 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 It's the whole idea.
We started the two-parters.
Look what you started, Brett. These two parts.
Everyone got a two-parter question?
My bad. Before I start... Randy, my mom loves you. Probably one of your biggest fans.
Everybody's mom loves Randy.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you. Appreciate you, bro. Appreciate you.
So my question for both of you is essentially, let me get it right. What strategies would you recommend for someone starting an A&R to help break their artists in a way that conveys their message and actually touches people? And essentially also for, oh, my bad. So I'll read it back for you guys one more time. So.
Oh, he's reading it off his phone, y'all. He's serious.
Yeah, you guys are serious.
I like the seriousness.
Yo. What strategies would you guys recommend for someone starting an A&R to help break their artists in a way that essentially conveys their message but still helps the artists keep their integrity and show their vision?
Well, what's, you know, it's what we've been talking about. Who is the artist? Are they really good? What are their strong points? Do you know who they authentically are? Forget what they're saying to you. Forget who you think they could be like. Who are they authentically? Because remember, none of us are really alike. I feel like, where does this artist live?
So he's a independent. He has an independent label from Cleveland, Ohio, Pick and Roll Records. I actually do a shameless plug right here.
Oh, there he is.
Yo, look at him. Look at
him. All right.
All right, but let's, what kind of music?
He makes rap. I had a style that is chauvinistic, upbeat.
When you say chauvinistic, what do you mean?
Did he just say chauvinistic?
I did.
I love that, bro. I love that. That's good. Are you the manager?
I might not be helping on this question.
I'm actually not his manager. I'm his A&R for his independent label, so I'm trying to get my start in the industry.
Yo, right there. You know what this guy just did? This is classic. Chauvinistic. I love that, bro.
I appreciate you. That's actually the name of his most recent single he just dropped, too.
Oh, okay. Well, you're a marketer, maybe, not an A&R guy.
He got it. Is the song good?
It's good. It's a song with Fed the God. He's the most recently signed artist to Taylor Gang, signed by Wiz. They're dropping an EP sometime this year. But essentially, I just want to build my network to help him grow. And essentially figure out how I could better do that.
That's a smart move. Look at that. That's you love your artist.
I do.
You want to build your network to help him grow.
I say this.
In the hip-hop game, it's all about a co-sign, as you know. Mm-hmm. You know, Lil Wayne co-signing Drake and Nicki. It's all about a co-sign. So everywhere you look around the hip-hop industry, it's a co-sign. So you're doing the right thing with him, getting him some more co-signs, some bigger co-signs. I mean, you know, we were laughing at one point. I mean, I think, was it 20? It was somebody that was on like, it might have been Future that was on like 50 records. Co-sign. You know what I mean?
That was Sylvia putting them on 50 records.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, just get him that co-sign because that's why people are going to pay attention to him. You know what I mean? And everybody's always putting
it goes beyond it goes beyond hip hop now. Like even alternative, you gotta get that cosign. Like you've gotta be legit, you know. People have to say, like, oh, they're in that circle, they're in with those guys, they're in, you know, with whatever insert artist name here. They're part of their vibe. That's part of their community.
And something I forgot to mention that I should have mentioned, I meant to mention. Are any of you, are any of these artists uniquely talented? That's the other thing. Got to be unique. Nobody needs another anything that's out there. Forget that. I feel like I hate water cities for that reason. I feel like artists move to LA, New York, all these places, Nashville, Miami, because if that's what the labels want, I'm just going to do that. No. Nobody wants that. I certainly don't want that. Nobody wants that. So is this guy uniquely talented? What's different about him? Yeah, but his flow is deliberately unique. What's his name?
Do you still have the microphone? Oh, you gave it up?
Yeah, but you know what? I like the name Chauvinistic better. Don't be afraid to change anything or everything. Don't be afraid to change anything or everything. Because if it ain't working, it ain't work. So the baby, I remember Erykah Badu, speaking of Dallas, speaking of Texas. She was, I think she had four different names before she
started. She has seven different names now. Yeah. She didn't stop.
But she would come to us with a new demo with a new name every 6 months. Like, damn. But that's somebody smart. That's somebody smart. Be smart. It ain't work until it works. Don't be married to nothing.
I was going to say, too, we've been handing out these parking tickets, been putting them on cars, essentially just getting everybody attention. It looked like
is this your idea?
It's not my idea. He's actually working with somebody called Kingpin who helps him handle the marketing. But we essentially just been hitting every car I could find in this whole time I've been here since Tuesday.
I mean, listen, that's a fantastic idea. You've got to do things to break through the mold. No matter if you are an artist or a creative professional, I'll tell you that story that put me on the map when I was a scout, and everybody knows this, it's on my team because I talk about it. Like, I was from Texas. I was not the only scout for Universal, and I was a woman. I was a young woman, and I was probably one of the few young women that people were paying attention to, especially from Texas. I called my buddy who owns Stubbs Barbecue. I said, give me Stubbs barbecue sauce for my Austin report, pre-South By. And I sent barbecue sauce to every executive at Universal with my scout report. And I got phone call after phone call after phone call.
That's Paula Moore right there, y'all.
Appreciate you guys for the advice and help as well. Thank you so much. And that's the guy where I got the mic. Artist name is 49DMAN.
Woo! Look at you showing up for me like that. Come on.
All right, guys, thank you for the session. My name is T.Y. Strings. I'm an Afrobeat, Afrofusion musician, composer, and artist. My question is, when you look at a song that has been created in a genre, how do you look at opportunity to recreate that, compose that song in another genre, whereby you can reuse that work in different other genre space so that apply to different market structure?
Where are you from?
I'm from Nigeria, but I live in Austin now.
Do you want to stay in the Afrobeat area? What do you want to do?
I do a lot of things. I make Afrobeat and Afrofusion. I say my music is like pizza. Anybody can take a slice from it. And the ability to fuse, I play six instruments, so I have Afrobeat and Afrofusion, where I introduce like Afro jazz, pop, soul, lo-fi, Delta blues, whatever genre you want to make.
But which one of those, if you had to do one, which one would you do? Where's your heart?
Afrobeat and Afrofusion.
Well, that's where you should stay.
Yeah.
And that's where I am right now.
Yeah. I mean, but is it really more that? Is it really more that I'm a piano?
So I'm a piano is still part of Afrobeat because it's just the kind of log drums you use in creating the beat.
But I'm saying, which side are you leaning more towards, or both?
I have I'm a piano song. It's still on the same umbrella circle of Afro music.
I only ask that because in America, it took a long time for Afrobeat to really hit. It's all over Europe forever. And I'm a piano. It's just starting to kind of bubble up here. So as trends go, I don't know how fast whatever's going to do. That's why you always got to go back to who you are and stay there. Just beat the hell out of that.
Create a hit that way.
Yeah, and I think the question structure is like, you know, let's say you can change a beat into like an you know, EDM structure, or you create a song into like a more indie folk, whereby, you know, just looking at a market opportunity to see how it fits. That's kind of how I wanted to see how you envision that.
So you're trying to find a way to make it more unique.
It's unique in itself already, but the ability to, you know, change it in a different market, the song itself.
Just don't spread yourself. Don't spread your sound and your thing too thin. It's like going to a restaurant. It's like a soul food restaurant, but it's fusion. The fusion can either go good or bad. A lot of fusions of different things.
All I'm not these a fan things, of Indian and Mexican fusion. I don't think that that's right.
Yeah, no. All these fusions do not work. And you got to remember the public. One thing about musicians that I never forget, someone said this to me many years ago. As musicians, we're about 2 years ahead of the public. It's crazy, right? Crazy. So make sure you don't go beyond where the public can hear you. That's why they're selling them 2, 1, 4 chords. You know, in a simple, sticky, hooky chorus. All right. They like simple.
Keep it simple. And on that note, keep it moving. Let's go to the next.
Right.
Oh, wait.
By the way,
I have another question. Just one more. My second question is, when you mentioned the distribution, I wanted to understand what kind of deals you make in terms of like, you know, is it like exclusivity or non-exclusive?
Yeah, you can talk to one of our A&R reps over here and offline. They can tell you what's up.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Hi, first off, thank you so much both for the session. My name is Ariz. I'm a student and started off as a producer, but I'm shifting myself towards management, A&R, marketing. So my question is, aside from just going out there and doing it, is there anything you can do or say to build yourself and get yourself known as a manager or A&R, especially when you're starting out?
Yes. Everything 24/7. Do it all.
Exactly.
And that means putting your face on camera these days, going on social media, talking about your discoveries, talking about what you're doing to become a creative professional. You look at Greater Than, you look at my crew right here, they're all doing it, and they hated me for making them do it. Didn't y'all? Yeah. Didn't y'all? No. Y'all on. Didn't want to do it. But the thing is, you can't network today like we did when we were coming up. That community doesn't exist to help lift you up out in, you know, your day-to-day life. Social media is where you find your community. Social media is where you find your supporters, your friends, and yes, your fans as a creative professional. Amen. Who want to know what you're doing, who want to lift you up, who want to connect you yep. with someone else.
Amen. Good one.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, Randy, you haven't exactly said it, but I had a question to you about work ethic and specifically how it applies today, where people can get in the studio and get on the machines and keep working and working the machines. But I think about the need to go tour, to go publicize that music, and the mindset it takes to do that. As an A&R person, how do you evaluate, or what advice do you have for young artists? Do they still need to tour? Do they need to tour like Journey did, or what are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I think if you can get a hit and you can build an audience, I think you need to tour. I think you definitely need to be in all of it. And the biggest way to make money today, if money's an object, is that radio and touring is where you make the most of your money. You make 5 times more money at radio than you make at streaming. So streaming pays pennies, unfortunately. It's part of the whole TikTok thing. I'm not paying any money, but it's going to get better, but still touring is a big thing. I think the studio is a big, it's a weird thing to me for people, because I have an artist now that, man, she loves to sing these vocals 50 times. And the first time is always just butter. She's crazy talented. So I suggest if you find someone that's working crazy in the studio, get them a therapist. No, it's true. You're trying to solve some other itch, man. Go to therapy and work your shit out. What if therapy's the greatest thing? I'm telling you, man, we all come up I used to manage an artist named Nika Costa, great Nika Costa. She said, everybody's got their something. We all do. We all came up with some shit. Work it out. Are you in therapy?
Mar.
That's good stuff. Are you?
Shout out therapy, exactly. All right.
Hi, my name is Raven, Ray Sav. My question is, I'm an artist, and you talked about authenticity, but also being objective. But I understand what the song is supposed to come from the artist, especially if you're also the songwriter. But how can you stay objective and be able to look outside of yourself, but also wanting to attain the star quality and be like, I am a narcissist, this is my thing, but also I'm open. You know, like how can you balance those things? Because they seem
gotta
like
find that other personality.
You gotta find that. You gotta find somebody that'll keep it real with you. Somebody that listen to that sucks, that's good. But I mean, hard.
Yeah, don't keep people around you. I mean, keep them around you to say how much they love you. But that can't be the only people around you. You've got to have people saying, "Listen, I like that lyric, or I like that part, but maybe you could work on that part."
Unless I get it twisted. Just being a narcissist ain't enough. That's a good and a bad thing, but it's with help and with somebody outside saying, no, this, that, do this, do that. Are you the artist?
I am.
Okay.
Do you have a manager or anyone around you?
You sing?
I sing. I can sing, but I don't. I'm a rapper. So.
Get that singing rapping, man. Lauryn Hill, still the greatest ever, dude.
She is.
Greatest ever.
She is. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, everybody. My name is Lady Ty. I am a female artist as well. I have a simple question, and we talk about it a lot in my community as well. So I know you mentioned about size, you know, whether big or small, but what about age, especially the older artists that's trying to merge? A lot of people are discouraged because with the music business, it's always like the younger generation. So how does that work with the older people that are trying to emerge?
I think that works too. I think it's still about a song. I mean, people don't care what age a song is, what age the person, if they love it. The one thing today that's really interesting to me, it started happening about 12, 15 years ago, my kids. I would say to them, yo, who's that song you listen to? Dad, I don't know. I like the song. Who is it? Dad, I don't know. I just like the song. So that disconnect started years ago. What that means for you or any older artist, they don't care. The song is popping and it's hot, it's on.
It's the song, exactly.
It's the song, 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 song.
We have an artist in residence. We have several that are involved in Greater Than. And, you know, I used to manage her back in the day when she was first coming up. Her name is Princess Superstar.
Hello, hello.
She has she had a hit song 20 years ago, and it's, you know, she gets it synced. She gets a lot of requests to sync that song. She synced that song for not a lot of money to the movie Saltburn, and she didn't even know if that movie was going to be hit. Well, she didn't know anything about it. She just said, yes, take the song, put it in the movie. I like my songs in movies. The next thing you know, she's the number one sound on both TikTok and Instagram. She went viral on both platforms.
Crazy.
She just got three new deals, a record deal, a Universal publishing deal. She got a new manager. She got that 20-year-old song is a hit all over again. Put her back into being in the forefront, rock star style. She's got tours coming. She's got all this stuff happening when she was just kind of like becoming a songwriter because she wasn't getting any love for her new music. So it can happen no matter what, no matter when.
Make sure it's hot.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Last two.
Hello, I'm Karima, and I'm a singer-songwriter based here in Austin. And I have a question. I am a big song person, absolutely love songwriting. And I have a catalog of music that my producer and I were going through, and he picked a song that to me was sort of a throwaway song, but he absolutely loved it. A lot of people that have listened to this song, I would say probably like 12 or 13 people at this point, say they really like this song, but I don't know if I necessarily like this song myself and want it associated with my personal brand anymore. It's like, I just wrote it when I was having a bad day, but people are like, yes, this is catchy, this is good. But I'm like, but it doesn't feel like me. Have you had any artists who have had that sort of song in their repertoire and said like, okay, I'm just going to listen to what everybody else is saying and not
all of them. They all hate the hit songs. Okay. All artists, so all of them.
Oh, no.
I'm sure Ariana Grande doesn't ever sing Thank You Next Again. They all hate all the hits. They hate all the hits. Because okay. They're not objective enough to see Taylor Swift doesn't, though. See, okay. That's the difference. Taylor Swift doesn't. Beyonce okay. doesn't. The real ones don't hate them. So I'm saying, if you wrote it, you got to learn to love. Like, hey, man,
okay.
You wrote it.
I'll give it another
had a chance. Bad day. You got many more bad days, too.
Bad days are relatable.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Cool. Howdy. My name is Lyric Mandel, and I'm an artist manager from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Louisiana in the house. There go, girl.
Originally from Texas, too, so lots of threads of connection. But not to sound cheesy, but I'm realizing throughout this entire process that music careers are a journey, not just linear. And so my question for y'all is, I have this artist. I feel like they're a star. I know they have all the qualities. But how do I, as an artist manager, plant the proper seeds so they can have a long-lasting music career and not just like the one-hit wonder?
Who's the artist?
So his name's Christian Butler. He's currently with the band Neon Luck.
He's in a band?
He is. Yeah.
He is the band.
He is the band, yeah.
So just him?
He's the only important one, I can say.
Whoa. What is going on? Is he best friends with Ryan Tedder or some One Republic? No, listen. What kind of music?
So melancholic pop, but their newest song, Babyface, puts a lot of New Orleans jazz horns elements to it as well.
But New Orleans jazz, a brass band or what?
Yeah, brass band. Yeah, there's trombone, three-piece brass arrangement in the song. It's really fun.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, wow. It starts off as a soulful acoustic and then crescendos in this more big band feel that feels really home. That's really fun.
Well, yeah, that's kind of cool. It's very New Orleans. I love it.
Yeah.
What do you want for him?
I can see his career lasting a handful of ways. He's a very talented songwriter, so I see him taking a lot of these more country backwoods songs that he writes that are based off of his childhood and selling them. But also, he's an artist, he's a star, has a very strong presence. So want him to be able to have a more self-sustaining career as an artist for sure.
What does he play?
He plays keys and the guitar as well.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, you're a hit songwriter and a great songwriter. If somebody cuts your stuff, nobody's ever cut it. I go I'm still my arms are folded. Prove it to me. Yeah. Is he a great songwriter? Prove it. And all this stuff about, Simon and I will always laugh when people come in. So what do you do? I sing pop, country, rock, jazz, soul, R&B, idiot, opera. Just keep going. No one does everything great. No one. Including me, including you, including him. No one is everything to everybody. So, once again, authenticity, you're in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Got to represent now.
Absolutely.
The meters were the meters, yo. Saying. Brass band's the brass band. Tell them, pick a lane. Go in it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Prove it. Thank you, guys.
All right, that's it. Thank you.
Who turned on the lights? What's that dude over there, man? Let there be light.